Sustainability is a critical issue, and on the new Sustainably Speaking podcast, we'll talk with trailblazing leaders who champion solutions to ensure a more sustainable and low-carbon future. Subscribe today and don't miss this limited episode podcast.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, June 16th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Columbia University professor Lina Khan has made a name for herself as the leader of a progressive movement that wants sweeping changes to antitrust enforcement. She's been a vocal critic of big tech companies and said companies like Amazon might need to be broken up. And Khan was just confirmed as a commissioner at the Federal Trade Commission. And President Biden is tapping her as FTC chair. On today's show, our legal affairs reporter Brent Kendall will join us to explain how she could shape the FTC going forward and what that could mean for tech companies. That's after these headlines. In recent years, the Big Four accounting firms have invested billions of dollars in cloud-based and other technologies. The latest, PricewaterhouseCoopers says it plans to spend $12 billion and hire 100,000 people in areas like artificial intelligence and cybersecurity by 2026. PwC's U.S. chairman says the investments are aimed at better advising companies that are facing scrutiny on issues like data privacy, diversity, and sustainability. And video game studios are being targeted by hackers. In recent months, we've seen hackers steal data as well as the source code for popular games and the libraries of code and game engines used to create them. And rather than demanding payment in exchange for not publishing the source code, hackers have instead threatened to auction it on the dark net. Our reporter James Rundle says the trend highlights a challenge unique to the video game industry.
Separate perhaps from other sectors that we've seen in the news, such as oil and gas or the medical sector, you know, their business is pretty predicated on data coming in and out of the studios to power the games, which makes it difficult to really track and monitor that usage using off-the-shelf tools. So a lot of their stuff is bespoke. In addition, the very nature of their most prized assets, such as the source code, such as the game engines, are digital in nature, which means that if someone does get in, they can easily transfer that out. And then you have the vast amount of money that currently surrounds the video game industry as a whole. You know, last year it's actually managed to produce revenue that was greater than both movies and sports in North America combined.
All right, coming up after the break, President Biden is tapping a prominent critic of big tech to lead the FTC. So what could that mean for the tech giants? That's next.
Don't miss the limited episode podcast series, Sustainably Speaking, featuring trailblazing leaders discussing how to improve sustainability and address climate change through innovation. Join Joshua Baca from America's Plastic Makers for these vital discussions with policymakers, academics, and industry pioneers about partnerships and policies that support advancements to meet this urgent challenge. Subscribe today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yesterday, the Senate confirmed Lina Khan to a seat on the Federal Trade Commission. The 32-year-old Columbia University professor has been a vocal critic of big tech companies, and she's advocated for sweeping changes to antitrust enforcement. With her confirmation secured, President Biden is designating her as FTC chair. The post will allow her to pursue an aggressive antitrust and consumer protection agenda. So for more on Khan and how she could shape the FTC, I'm joined by our legal affairs reporter, Brent Kendall. Hey, Brent, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so tell us about Khan's background here. Where does she come from?
So she has been on the fast lane star track of the progressive movement in terms of antitrust, which she was a reporter, wrote pieces for different publications, went to law school, and wrote this law review article about Amazon, the thesis of which was that, you know, antitrust law just doesn't really work to restrain companies like Amazon and how they've built their business. And so she kind of skyrocketed from there. She's been a legal advisor for a progressive group that has advocated for a wholesale change in antitrust enforcement. She went and worked on the Hill for this House antitrust subcommittee that did this big investigation of tech firms and was, you know, a big piece of that. And this report that Democratic staff wrote at the end of this investigation, making all sorts of recommendations that you know, Congress reined tech companies in, So you know, this all comes at a time, you know, where she's risen up these ranks and then got this nomination for the FTC from President Biden, which will now put her, you know, in theory, at least, in a position to try to put some of her views into practice.
And to that point, what kinds of measures has she advocated for in the past?
So for Lena and other progressives, I mean, their view is that Democrats and Republicans alike have basically stunk at antitrust for 20, 30, 40 years. And that, you know, that antitrust has become kind of this technocratic exercise where you have lots of economists and experts who spend tons of time on data to try to figure out if like such and such merger or practice is going to lead to higher or lower prices. And so what Lena would say is that, you know, the real questions here are about a lot more than higher or lower prices. And then you look at companies like Amazon and Google and Facebook and the like, who in some cases offer products for free. In her view, you have to look beyond price and say, well, what are we sacrificing to get these free products or to get lower prices? And, you know, what is Amazon doing to the marketplace? What does it mean for the economy and society for Amazon to grow more and more dominant? Same with Facebook's and Google's and the like. And so her view and you know, for the liberal camp that is, you know, where she is they say, you know, none of this has worked. We need to really rethink how we approach enforcement here. And that could mean, you know, a whole lot more cases challenging mergers, a lot of lawsuits challenging conduct by dominant companies that could be viewed as anti-competitive. I mean, she also wants to be part of a majority that would write rules at the FTC, kind of regulations on the kinds of conduct that you can and can't engage in. And that's something that the FTC has not done on the antitrust front before.
Yeah, and let's talk more about her being named chair. How typical was this process?
The way they did this was both a surprise and unusual. I mean, normally what a president does is either nominate an outside person from the outset and say, I hereby nominate this person to be chairman, or they pick somebody who's already been serving on the commission and just designate, you know, a current commissioner to be the new chairman. And so here the White House didn't do either one of those things.
Got it. And I want to ask about her potential impact, too. You know, as we've covered on the show, the FTC has taken some action on the antitrust front recently, you know, the big one being suing Facebook last year. So I think the big question is, as chair, how could Khan shape their strategy and their priorities moving forward? Could some of the things that she's been pushing for actually be implemented?
Well, you know, in some senses, she still will face an uphill road because she will have to deal with the courts and past precedent, you know, and with other commissioners and with FTC staff who has a certain way that they've always done things. And so you can imagine that it could be a challenge if she wants to do things in a considerably different way. And, you know, that said, you know, by being named chairman, she basically runs the place. The staff now reports to her. You know, in a lot of ways, she'll get to set the agenda at the commission as opposed to having other people do that and her being kind of a team player, although one with a big voice. I mean, now she's clearly has the central role at the commission. And so, I mean, that, you know, while it's still a multi-member body and she will have to work with colleagues, I mean, it is a much more powerful position for her to be in than if she had just gone in as a normal commissioner, which was what we all expected before the White House named her immediately as chairman after she was confirmed.
So what could all this mean for the tech companies and how have they been responding?
So the tech companies weren't big fans of the Lena Khan nomination to begin with and have criticized her views and have questioned whether she, you know, can fairly enforce the antitrust laws as they are, as opposed to what she would like them to be. So they weren't thrilled with her joining the commission to begin with. And now that she's been designated as chair, I mean, those concerns are certainly going to have been heightened because she now controls the agenda. You know, and an FTC with her at the helm could take a firmer hand both on transactions that tech companies want to do, whether it is acquiring potential future competitors or acquiring other businesses that will expand them into new markets, you know, or, you know, all sorts of conduct that they engage in now. I mean, you can imagine a world in which the FTC is going to take a closer look and potentially bring enforcement actions on more cutting edge kind of stuff that is aimed at keeping some of these really big tech firms from getting even bigger.
And finally, Brent, looking to the future, there are already some potential challenges on the horizon for Khan. What lies ahead?
Well, there's still some open questions about whether she'll be able to participate in all of these cases. I mean, there's no real reason at this point to think that she won't be able to. And one would imagine that the White House would not have designated her as chair if it thought she couldn't participate. But given that she has written very strongly about the tech sector and Amazon in particular, and given that she worked on the Hill, which directly investigated several of these, you know, most prominent companies and has advocated that lawmakers, you know, enact new legislation to rein them in, there's at least a question about whether any of that work would make it so that she can't participate, whether it's the appearance of a conflict of interest or an appearance of bias. These aren't typically the kinds of things that would lead somebody to be recused, you know, in an FTC setting. I mean, the one, if you had a financial conflict of interest or had directly worked for one of these parties or had worked on one of these cases that gave you information about their practices that would disqualify you, that would be the kind of thing that might typically lead to recusal, not necessarily just because you've been involved with these issues in the past. But she has said that she will consult with FTC ethics officials as she determines what to do. But one would think she'd want to do everything she can to, you know, not be on the sidelines of a major case and an agency that she now runs.
All right. Our legal affairs reporter, Brent Kendall. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.